speak on tonight. The question was put to me, what has God laid on my heart during this study on prayer? And it got me thinking. It's always quite challenging to narrow your thoughts down on such a large topic. You see, the subject of prayer for me has always held a certain sense of mystery and has led me to ask many questions. Philip Yancey, in his book on prayer, one that I read, gives an example. He writes, on one hand, I hold the truth of God's vastness, and on the other hand, I hold the truth of God's desire for intimacy. Only lately have I understood that the vast difference between God and us allows this very capacity. This is still Philip talking. God operates by different rules of time and space, and God's infinite greatness, which we would expect to diminish us, actually makes possible the very closeness that we desire with God. A God unbound by our rules of time and space has the ability to invest in every single person on this planet. God has, quite literally, all the time in the world for each of us. Do you get that? You kind of understand what he's saying there? Because the God is so big and so infinite, he's able to be intimate with each and every one of us as he listens to our prayers and seeks our attention. I'm trying to get your head around that. Sometimes can blow your mind. But getting back to the study on prayer that we've been doing, I think that it's been really good at allowing us to break this topic down and to look at specific bits and pieces of prayer and how we can apply them to our lives. Looking back over the studies and thinking about what has impacted me, nothing really stood out more than the rest. All the conversations we've had and the studies we've done have been very good. But then suddenly I remembered something. And that was a prayer that God had answered for me just a few weeks ago in a very clear and unmistakable way. When we pray at times, I think some more often than not, we forget to look for the answers to our prayers. We fire off prayers that can be so general that when God does answer them, we can't actually work out whether they were answered by God or not, or whether the dice was just rolling in our favour. But when God does answer our prayers in an unmistakable way, it's very encouraging for us, and I think it's greatly strengthening for our faith. There is, however, a slight problem with me using this example of answered prayer, in that I can't actually give you much detail around it. And it did make me think about whether I should use this or not, because if I can't tell you much about it, is it any good? But as it was directly influenced by the studies we're doing, I thought I'd stick with it. Some friends of mine were having some relationship problems, and as you can probably guess, I can't really go into the ins and outs of that. The problems they were having were really weighing on my mind, not just theirs, and I really didn't know what I could do to help and where to turn to. So I was walking along the Wellington waterfront one lunchtime, and it was one of those typical spring Wellington days. What comes to your mind when I say typical spring Wellington day? Sunshine? Wet? Could be anything, right? Yep. Well, this one, it was grey, threatening to rain, and the wind was howling so much that the spray from the sea was hitting me in my face, even though I was walking on the wharf 2 metres above the level of the ocean. I was one of the few crazy people to be out walking, but because there wasn't many people out walking, it was one of those days that I actually found it quite good to have a chat with God about things. And so as I was talking to God about the things that were weighing on my mind, the particular study that we were looking at in home group popped up in my mind. It was the week in which we were studying about praying specifically. And I started thinking about how praying specifically could affect my conversations with God. I don't know about you, but as I've said, a lot of time my prayers can be quite general. God, please bless so-and-so. Well, bless them how? Or maybe, God, help me have a good day today. Again, the question, how do you want a good day? God really does know all of our requests before we ask them. But at the same time, he wants to hear us say them, and he wants to engage with us. As one writer put it, praying specific prayers allows us to see precisely how great God is. In Mark chapter 10, we've seen an example of this when Jesus meets Bartimaeus, who is blind. Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now Jesus, who would have known that Bartimaeus was blind, asks anyway, "What do you want me to do for you?" "My rabbi," the blind man says, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. When we pray specifically, we see God answer our prayers. Because how would we know when our prayers are answered if we don't pray specifically? And also, once God answers our prayers, our faith grows stronger as we see God working in our lives. So I think it is really important for us to pray the specific requests. Now, there are a number of things, I think, that make it hard for us to pray specifically. First up, sometimes we just don't know what to pray or how to pray. Maybe we feel inadequate, or maybe we're going through a time of life where we just don't really think we're up to it. But as the Battle Plan for Prayer study book says, we humans are fickle, hot and cold. Moods and emotions that flame within us today can nearly be forgotten memories by the end of the week. But when we pray, words and thoughts that are inspired by Scripture, we're assured that our praying is anchored in truths that stretch back centuries. And there we have one thing that can help us in praying specifically. Praying words and thoughts that are inspired by Scripture. Or to put it more bluntly, using Scripture in our prayers. Praying God's Word means reading or reciting Scripture in an attitude and spirit of prayer. Now, I don't know if you have done this much or not in your prayers. But for me, it's not something that was taught much when I was younger. There was more of an emphasis on being personal and completely unique in your prayers. And it's true that prayer can and does flow directly from your heart and that no script is necessary. But God does provide at the same time some amazing resources in His Word to help us pray specifically. For instance, in the Psalms, they're packaged full of prayers to God, prayers that we can use to talk to God. For example, let's look at this passage from Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." These verses from Psalm 139, I think you can see, can be easily used in our own personal prayers, as we echo the words of David in our own hearts. And that's something that also inspires me in these prayers, as the book said previously, these truths stretch back centuries. As we pray these words, these are the same words that were written by David thousands of years ago and have been prayed by many since then. So asking God to search us, to know us, asking Him to engage with our anxiety and to lead us. These are the verses that popped into my head as I was walking on the waterfront that lunchtime, and ones that I've used in prayer before. But we are all different. We're at different stages of life. And while these verses appeal to me and talk to my soul where I'm at the moment, they may not ring that true with you. So I thought what we'd do is read a few more passages of Scripture that all can be used in prayer. You don't have to use these passages word for word in your prayers, but you can use them as inspiration and guidance. As we read through them, I encourage you to make a note to yourself about which passage speaks to you most in your situation right now. So let's look at the next passage. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May He, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all His holy people. Amen." The next passage is from Hebrews. And Paul is closing off the letter here. It's in the last chapter, and he includes this prayer. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen." And one final passage from Colossians, So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in his inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I really hope that the reading of God's word tonight has stirred something in your heart from one of those passages. And each of these passages can be used in our prayers, used to inspire us in our prayers as well. So I encourage you right now, take a note of one of those passages of scripture in your mind. And if you could just run back through them quickly, just to remind everybody of those passages of scripture. Take a note. If you've got a phone, put one in your phone or write one down on a piece of paper. And if one of those passages didn't really speak to you, there's a whole Bible worth of other passages to choose from. Those are just four that I picked for tonight. And if those ones didn't speak to you, there's many more out there. So make a note of it. And I encourage you this week to make use of a specific passage of Scripture in your prayers this week. It may even help if you memorize it so that you can remember it at times where you're praying. So to finish tonight, I just want to take a quick look at one verse. And if we flick to the second to last screen there, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says there, "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Now, wisdom is one of those things that we all need more of, right? Would you agree? Yeah? No? Someone's got enough wisdom? No, not yet. No matter how long we've been alive, no matter how long we've been doing life, there's always a need for more wisdom. There's always things that present themselves that we need help with from God. Whether it's decisions on jobs or career paths down the line, whether it's the subjects we're choosing at school, and maybe dealing with family relationships or friendships that are going well or not so well. Or maybe there's a big change coming in life. We can all do with more wisdom. And thankfully for us, it's something that we can always ask for and something that God is always willing to give. Wisdom is not one of those things that we need to wonder about in terms of, is this the right thing to ask God for? You know, sometimes when you're praying for that car park to appear, and you think to yourself, is God really going to influence someone else's day just so I can get a car park? Or maybe you're praying for a car to begin with, or a bigger and a better car. Should we be really praying for that stuff? Well, it is a question for another day, not one I'm going to address right now. I'm not saying if it's wrong or right. But what I do want to say is that when we come to praying for wisdom, we can definitely pray for wisdom. There's no questions about whether or not we should be praying for it. The book of Proverbs speaks heaps about wisdom. In chapter 4 and verse 7 it says, "Wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding." As the study book on prayer says, not many things in life come with this kind of recommendation. Whatever else you do, whatever else you get wisdom. And when we ask for God's wisdom, chapter 2 and verse 6 of Proverbs say that the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And in James chapter 1 and verse 5, James says that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So wisdom is one of those things that we can really ask for, and the full knowledge that God is expecting us to ask, and also that he's ready to give it. So as this week rolls on, as the days go by, I encourage you all to pray. And I encourage you to ask God for wisdom. I encourage you to use scripture in your prayers and to seek God in specific areas and specific requests. And as you do so, I think that you will see God answer prayer. Let's close with a prayer tonight from the words of Colossians. Father, tonight we ask you to give us complete knowledge of your will and to give us spiritual understanding and wisdom. We pray that the way we live will always honor and please you, and that our lives will produce every kind of good fruit. May we grow as we learn to know you better and better. We also pray that we will be strengthened with all your glorious power, so we will have all the endurance and patience we need. May we be filled with joy, always thanking you. You have enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to your people who live in the light. For you have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of your dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen.
We have been sharing communion tonight. I'd like to read from the book of Luke, from 14. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way after the supper, he took the cup. The cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my body, which is poured out for you. As we share communion tonight, those who come forward, it has been poured out to each one of us.